Welcome to the online ministry of Pacific Beach United Methodist Church, located in beautiful San Diego, California. Pacific Beach UMC is a member of the Reconciling Ministries Network and welcomes persons of all ages and backgrounds for worship, study, and service opportunities. More information can be found on our website at pbumc.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
Today's the third Sunday in the season of Lent, and we've been exploring through this Lenten season the idea of spiritual rehab. Now, using this lens of rehab might be a way that many of us can connect, whether it's an idea. We have a number of members who have experienced rehab in terms of various recovery programs, which is certainly one way that we might talk about rehab, but also some of our members may have experienced some kind of physical injury or disease that sometimes can require some kind of rehab. And so it's my hope that we can experience this Lenten season and look at Lent through this lens of rehab in a way that makes this kind of spiritual rehab a familiar road for us. Now, this time of Lent leads us to a very familiar story, right? The two most familiar stories we have in the Christian tradition, the ones that everybody knows about because they're the ones that we have the highest attendance every year, are Christmas and Easter, right? But I think these times of preparation, particularly the Lenten season that we get ready for Easter, or the Advent season where we get ready for Christmas, these times are critical. The Lenten season, the Advent season, these seasons are critical for us to prepare ourselves for these stories that we already know. See, I think that if we prepare ourselves more, if we prepare ourselves appropriately, then I think the Easter season will have more power for us, more meaning for us. And so this is why we're entering into this particular season, this time of Lent, in a way that I hope will be familiar. We'll have some familiar concepts, some ways that we can engage together on preparing our hearts for the familiar story of Easter. 2 weeks ago, we started out talking about wilderness. And we talked about this not only in terms of Jesus being driven by the Spirit into the wilderness and experiencing temptation, but also as we looked around the world and saw, maybe what we see today, see a wilderness that is filled with dangers, that is filled with temptations. And sometimes we have a little trouble remembering that not only in the wilderness are those temptations, not only in the wilderness are those dangers, but also in the wilderness are the angels that care for us. However you think about angels, whether you think about angels as some kind of supernatural creature, or if you think about angels as the people who sometimes say the things that we need to hear when we need to hear them, angels are in the wilderness and they care for us, and it's good to have that reminder. Last week, Pastor Christopher spoke to us about intervention. The idea that, we're not going to be able to address whatever is going on in our spiritual lives unless we acknowledge it, unless we face it. In spirituality as well as in our lives, we can't address a problem until we admit there is a problem. We can't do anything about it until we acknowledge it. Christopher talked about these through the story of Jesus saying to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." Taking that moment of intervention and teaching not only Peter but the rest of the disciples, listen, we can't always think about earthly things. We must focus ourselves on divine things. And so now as we acknowledge the wilderness that is in the world, as we acknowledge that perhaps we can't do anything to work ourselves through the temptation, through the dangers, it's harder to acknowledge the angels that are caring for us without a kind of intervention. Now, when we see these things as they are, we have the opportunity to address them. Now, if you have been a part of any kind of recovery program, you might have heard phrases like working the steps. The idea that there are particular steps that are to be worked through with a mentor or guide, so someone who can help us work through the program so that we might experience a kind of rehab. If you are one who has experienced an illness or injury that has required some kind of therapy or rehab, you might know that there is someone, some kind of therapist or guide who will guide us through a program that will aid us toward our recovery. And so it is in our spirituality. In our spirituality, there is a program that we might follow, that we might acknowledge as the steps that we must work through. But also as a spiritual people, as a people of faith, we might also acknowledge that there is a guide. The source that I've been using for this sermon series would submit that the guide is our God. And I would say that I would affirm that as well. But I would also say that we can understand and experience the voice of God in many different ways. Sometimes through those people that we might identify as angels who say the right things at the right times. And so let's turn to our sacred text so that we might hear one way to think about our program, our steps, for continuing this journey on spiritual rehab. We'll hear from the book of Exodus, the 20th chapter.
Then God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You must have no other gods before me. Do not make an idol for yourself, no form whatsoever, of anything in the sky above or on the earth below or in the waters under the earth. Do not bow down to them or worship them, because I, the Lord your God, am a passionate God. I punish children for their parents' sins, even to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me. But I am loyal and gracious to the thousandth generation of those who love me and keep my commandments. Do not use the Lord your God's name as if it were of no significance. The Lord won't forgive anyone who uses his name that way. Remember the Sabbath day and treat it as holy. 6 days you may work and do all your tasks, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. Do not do any work on it, not you, your sons or daughters, your male or female servants, your animals, or the immigrant who is living with you. Because the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and everything that is in them in 6 days, but rested on the seventh day. That is why the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother so that your life will be long on the fertile land that the Lord your God is giving you. Do not kill. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not testify falsely against your neighbor. Do not desire your neighbor's house. Do not desire and try to take your neighbor's wife, male or female servant, ox, donkey, or anything else that belongs to your neighbor.
The Ten Commandments are written for us not only in this book of Exodus, but also in Deuteronomy. You know, we most commonly list them out sort of without the some of the superlatives that we find in the text. And so we'll very often think of the Ten Commandments in this way. Sometimes we'll see them in various works of art. Sometimes we'll see them in sculpture and paintings. But here's how we very often think about the Ten Commandments. Worship only the Lord our God. Don't worship idols. Don't take the Lord's name in vain. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Now I'm going to pause there. You may also remember that in the Gospels, a legal scholar comes to Jesus and says, well, what's the most important commandment? And you remember how many commandments Jesus gives to the in response to the legal scholar? It's not 10. How many is it? I see two fingers out there. Yes, two. Jesus gives two commandments. You remember what they are? Right, love God with everything you have. That's the way I like to say it. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul and all your strength. I like to say that love the Lord your God with everything you have. Okay? And what's the second one? Love your neighbor as yourself. Now, if we look at these Ten Commandments, we're going to see those two. You see, the first four commandments, the ones that I just read, are all about our relationship with God. When it comes to worship only the Lord your God, don't worship idols, don't take the Lord's name in vain, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy, right? Those are about our relationship with God. Short trivia question, okay, about the fourth commandment, remember the Sabbath day. Do you know what day of the week that is?
Saturday.
I have to bite my tongue every time somebody tells me that Sunday's the Sabbath day. No, Sunday's the first day of the week. That's the day we celebrate Easter. The seventh day is Saturday. All right, putting away the trivia. So the first commandment, love God with everything you have. The first commandment that Jesus gives lines up with the first four commandments that we read in Exodus and Deuteronomy. Okay, the next six commandments have to do with our relationships with one another. Honor your parents. Do not kill. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not lie. Do not covet what other people have. Now, sometimes we can look at these Ten Commandments and think, well, you know, that was thousands and thousands of years ago. It's hard to figure out how to apply those things to our lives today. Not for me. And I think whether we look at large events that we're seeing on the news and reading in newspapers or when we're thinking about some of the more personal events that take place in our lives, I think we can find ways to apply the commandments to what's happening for us in our lives. And I'd like to give you a couple of examples. These are on the grander scale, on the larger scale of examples. And the first example is this, the rising voice of women in the Me Too movement. More and more women and men talking about being objectified, talking about being sexually harassed and assaulted. The increasing voice here is a clear way that we can apply the Ten Commandments, because if the way that women and some men are being treated as objects and being violated both verbally and physically, if that's not about coveting, if that's not about that Tenth Commandment, then I got to restudy these commandments. Here's another example. Again, in the news, we've been hearing a lot of conversation about gun violence. And one of the examples that comes to mind is the shooting in the church in Sutherland Springs, Texas. It's a shooting that sparked for us that very next Sunday. We, in this room, talked about what are the escape routes in case something terrible happens. Okay? But some of the conversation that came out about that, I heard some people talking about, well, we need to start arming our pastors. I'm not going to do it. And very particularly, you know why I'm not going to do it? Do not kill. I won't do it either. These commandments continue to have power for us. Again, they continue to have power for us on a grand scale, and they have power for us on a personal scale. They have power for us as we're reminded about how we continue to be in a relationship with the God who continues to create, the God who continues to speak. They continue to have power for us as they instruct us on how we might interact with our fellow humanity, with our neighbors. We are reminded about how we might love God and love ourselves and love our neighbors. These commandments have power, my friends. And our recovery friends, our 12-step friends, might remind us that there is a great deal of comfort in having these steps to work. But sometimes it feels like a big thing. Sometimes it feels like an overwhelming thing. How can we solve the problems of the world with these 10 simple steps? Well, one, I'm not sure they're all that simple. And two, we don't have to solve the problems of the world right away. Because, again, our 12-step friends, our recovery friends, would remind us that we need to take these things one day at a time. If we wake up in the morning, every morning, and say, today I'm going to love my God with everything I have. I'm going to love myself. And today I'm going to treat my neighbors, my friends, the people that I come into contact with, in the way that God treats me. If we do that every single day, knowing that some days we're going to fail, if we make that decision every single day, my friends, I submit that we will begin to see the building of the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. If we follow God's steps every single day, if we make that choice every single day, regardless of the times that we fail, if we continue to make that choice, we will have the opportunity to see the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. But just as with our recovery friends, just as with people who endure some kind of physical rehab, it's not only about the steps, it's about having a guide. And that guide might happen through a one-on-one conversation with God. It might happen in prayer, and it might happen through the voice of God that comes through the people who are around us. You know, about a year ago, I was talking about my own pretty mild journey with skin cancer and a little surgery and a little radiation. It was an emotional journey for me that I didn't expect. It was much less physically than it was emotionally for me. But one of the things that was powerful for me was participating in something at the local YMCA called the Live Strong Program. See, the Live Strong Program is something for people enduring any kind of cancer treatment. And it's an exercise program because doctors and scientists and therapists understand the importance of a good exercise regimen, especially when you're enduring something cancer-related treatments like that. But also it was a gathering of people where there was, the word God was never mentioned, and yet it was one of the most profound spiritual settings I've ever been in. There was this sense of care where every single time I gathered together with these people, I heard the voice of God speaking. My friends, the angels continue to care for us. God continues to speak for us. The Christ continues to redeem us. The Spirit continues to empower us. We must wake up every single day and make a choice. I'm going to love the Lord my God with everything I have. I'm going to love myself, and I'm going to love my neighbors. Let us make that choice every single day. And in doing so, my friends, we will participate in building the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. Let us make our choice this day. Amen. Friends, we turn now to an opportunity to connect as a community of faith and to offer our prayers for one another and even for ourselves. Holy and gracious God, we are glad for this opportunity to be here in this community of faith, to be connected through your light and your love. As we lift up these prayers of this community, we may experience that others are lifting up us up in prayer as well. And so in this spirit of connection and love, we turn to you. Oh God, we lift up all these things to you. As we take a moment to pray the prayer that Jesus teaches us, as we lift up our voices in song. Our Father, who art in heaven, the kingdom and the power and the glory for